Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome. Our next presenter is Mary Taylor. She's a digestive care specialist, and she'll be giving us the scoop on poop. Ready to hear about that? We all do it, but we don't talk about it. But what we flush down the toilet tells us a lot about our health. Today, Mary Taylor will be taking us through the scoop on poop.
Hello, Toronto, on this fantastic day. Is it nice outside? Is it? I've been in here all weekend. I don't know. Weather gets nice. I'm in here talking about poop all day long. So welcome. Thank you so much for coming. Is it okay if we have some fun today? Because, you know, this is such a serious thing that nobody ever really wants to talk about it. So we're going to have some fun with this. Anybody know who that is? Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley was an icon in the rock and roll industry for so many years, and he actually died of a heart attack due to hypertensive cardiovascular disease, basically a heart attack. And he was known to suffer from chronic constipation for many, many years due to the drugs and the lifestyle, of course. So at the time of his death, they actually said that he had a twisted colon. Now, as a famous person, can you imagine when you die that people talk about finding you in the bathroom, dying from a twisted colon due to constipation? So when you're constipated, you're forcing yourself to go. He actually had a heart attack while trying to go to the bathroom. Anybody know who this guy is? Mr. John Wayne. So the amazing thing is that, I mean, John Wayne did so many amazing things for so many years, yet every single time you're at a party or there's people around and John Wayne comes up, what did everybody talk about? That John Wayne died with 30, 40 pounds of fecal matter in his colon. They actually forget all the amazing things he did. Now, he had cancer as well, so after a lot of pain and stuff, that can affect the colon with the drugs. Next lady, Marilyn Monroe, very famous, amazing actress. Back in the 50s, back in the 40s, enemas were actually very popular back then, especially amongst the stars. Yes, they were. So she had a history of taking enemas, and so many other people did as well. When she actually died, there was a lot of talk that chloral hydrate was a sedative that was actually administered through an enema. Have you ever heard of people that take coffee enemas? Do you know why they do that? Because when you administer coffee through the colon, through the enema, through the anal, it absorbs it so much faster. So people that are severely constipated might take coffee enemas to help them go. Well, what she did, she took a sedative that actually ended up killing her through the colon. So I hear these stories all the time. People are talking about it, but imagine having to be famous and die before anybody talks about your colon. So is it okay if we just be normal people and let's talk? All right, so let's hear it. Who actually had a bowel movement today? Yay. Okay, so let's hear about who actually hasn't gone in 2 days. Nothing for 2 days. Okay, you don't have to put your hand up. You can. Okay, who is going to be honest enough to say they haven't gone in 4 days? Yep. You used to. Thank you for being so honest. 4 days. In my practice, I see people that sometimes don't go to the bathroom for over a week. That's a pretty scary thought. And four of the most common issues for people that do colon hydrotherapy. Does anybody know what colon hydrotherapy is? So colonics is like an enema, where you're flushing water into the colon to relieve any toxic waste or built-up fecal matter. Except that the difference is an enema only goes in 3 to 6 inches, where a colonic or colon hydrotherapy actually goes in much higher, all the way up the transverse colon and up, and relieves a lot more bloating, gas, constipation. But constipation is the top reason why most people have these done. The second is bloating and gas. Anybody experience bloating and gas? How about a little protruding belly that just won't go away? Dr. Davis was talking about the weak belly. Anybody go see him today? I actually slipped out and went to hear him today for 2 hours. Fantastic. And weight gain. That weight gain that you just can't get rid of. So a lot of that is due to constipation. A lot of all of the things we just talked about. And 63 million people in North America suffer from constipation. It is so common that if you go to the doctor now and you tell him you haven't gone to the bathroom in 3 days, he'll go, well, as long as you go after 4 days, you'll be okay. Why? Because the doctors are constipated too, so they think it's normal. They have a lot of stress. They work crazy hours, especially if you're working in a hospital. They don't eat right. And in all fairness, people sometimes say to me, well, doctors should know all this. They're not taught it, so it's not their fault. Their job is to actually surgically fix what's wrong. Their job is not to do preventative. Theirs is to do maintenance, like right now. Critical care. It's not about eliminating symptoms and helping you relieve them. They don't know how to do that. So it's not really the doctor's fault. So what is constipation? Constipation is difficulty passing stool. If you don't poop every day, hard pellet-like little poops. And I'm going to show you in a little bit the different kinds of poop, the different colors of poop, because a lot of people don't know. Some people don't know that there's different kinds of poop. And when I say to them, so what does your poop look like? They say, well, it's normal. What's normal for you? They go, well, and then I show them a chart that I'm going to show you, and they go, well, it's that one. That's not normal. That's diarrhea. And so when you go to the doctor, some people flip-flop back and forth between constipation and diarrhea, and they call it IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, because they don't know what to do with it. So some of the common causes for all of these ailments are, number one, the number one thing that causes constipation and a lot of these other issues is not enough water. So some people say, well, I drink lots of water. Great. How much water do you drink? 2 cups a day. The amount of water that you drink should be based on your weight. So if you weigh 100 pounds, you should be having 50 ounces of water a day. If you weigh 200 pounds, you should be having 100 ounces a day. That's more than 2 to 3 liters every single day. Poor diet, lack of nutrition. I also do live blood cell analysis, and I can tell you that when I do people's blood, the lack of nutrition is unbelievable. How many people are actually starving of nutrients? Lack of activity. People don't exercise. They have a dog, they don't even walk the dog. What's the excuse? It was too cold. Can't walk the dog when it's too cold. They have boots now for dogs. My dog has a little pair of pugs. They're called pugs. They're the same as the adult Uggs. Pugs. And he's got little rubber booties, the little balloons for when it's salty out so he doesn't hurt his little feet. So there's no excuse for getting out and walking, although this last winter was pretty cold out there. Lack of fiber. So some people say, well, I get my fiber from my vegetables. I eat food with fiber in it. Well, the nutrients are so badly depleted that there's very little fiber in anything. So you, more often than not, you'll need a fiber supplement to mix with water. Change in your schedule. How many people have actually been on a plane to travel and after they land or while they're in the air, they don't go to the bathroom till they come back? I was one of those people. I actually have to bring some pills with me when I travel. I was on a cruise last year and my girlfriend, after the third day, shows up at breakfast and she's looking pretty green. I looked at her and said, what's wrong with you? Did you have a late night last night? Like, what did you do after we all went to bed? She's, oh, I haven't had a dump in 3 days. I said, oh my God, come to my room. I have something for you. So I gave her two pills. She goes, what is it? I said, don't ask any questions. Just take it. Don't even wait till tonight. Take it now. The next day, it was like a different person. She's like, oh my God, what did you give me? And it wasn't a laxative. And so these are some of the things. Pregnancy. You know, a lot of women that are pregnant, constipation, that's a big burden to be carrying around. And you want to hear something about enemas. Years ago, if any of you women have had children, they used to administer enemas to women just before they went into the delivery room, right? Well, one of my clients said to me, yep, I've had three kids. The first two, enema, and off you go. Everything's great. The third one, she went to the hospital, and they're ready to wheel her in. She goes, well, wait a minute. What about my enema? She goes, oh, we don't do that anymore. She goes, like hell, you're getting me a damn enema. It's easy way out. Nobody does them anymore unless you specifically have to demand them. A lot of people don't realize that lower back pain is directly related to constipation. I was one of those people that suffered from lower back pain for years. I had been in three car accidents in 4 years. They were all minor. But my lower back pain, I'd wake up in the morning and I'd feel like it was burning, so painful. And it wasn't until I did 3 colonics in 1 week, 5 days actually. It was unbelievable. My lower back pain disappeared after 5 days. Because the weight of whatever is in there is sitting on your small intestine and your other organs, therefore putting a lot of pressure on your lower back. Headaches. People don't realize that if you have headaches, a lot of times the toxicity from your bowel is releasing all that toxic stuff that causes headaches. A lot of people that are constipated get headaches. Once they have a bowel movement or two or three, the headaches subside. Anybody experience that? Yep. Thank you. Bad breath. I don't think I have to explain how bad breath can be related to bowel toxicity. Absolutely. Acne, skin problems. If you're not, you have five areas of elimination through your system. Number one is the colon. The colon gets rid of the most amount of stuff, waste material that has to come out of the colon. If you're not eliminating through the colon, then the body has to find other ways to eliminate stuff. And one of the things is through the skin. Through the skin. If it's trying to get out through the skin, you're going to get acne. You're going to get, pardon me, psoriasis, all kinds of skin issues. Yeast infections. A lot of women don't understand that if you have yeast infections, you have an overload of yeast in your system. Same with allergies like hay fever. That's all mucus. The mucus will sit inside your colon and actually grow little shoots to hang on to the colon walls and block the stuff from coming out. What happens is these little shoots are like the vines on the side of a building. So these vines stick to the brick. So if you see these 100-year-old houses and you tear down all those vines, your brick is going to be damaged. You have to put aluminum siding on the side of your house in most cases. Your colon does the same thing. When you have an overload of yeast, it's usually caused from wheat, dairy products, things like that, not eliminating properly, then you will get yeast infections or allergies. That's all mucus that's coming out of your system. Parasites. My doctor actually said, there's no parasites in Canada. I keep telling my clients to go to the doctor and ask them for a parasite test. And so they were coming back saying, oh, he wouldn't do it. Like, he thought it was nuts. And I thought, well, I'm going to see what my guy's going to say. So I waltzed in there. And I said, Doc, I want you to give me a parasite test. And he looks at me and goes, parasite test? What for? I said, well, you know what? I said, I'm not feeling the greatest. I said, I'm feeling a little discomfort in my belly. And I sleep with my little dog. I might have parasites. My skin's getting a little bit itchy. He says, there's no parasites in Canada. I looked at him. I said, he looked at me like I had green horns coming out of my head. I said, are you kidding me? And then he rolls his eyes around and he says, well, unless you've traveled to another country. What about people from other countries coming here? We live in Toronto, hello. We're all interacting with each other. You're going to pick up a parasite here or there. It could be just from the fruits and vegetables that you don't wash. All these things are all directly related with the elimination of toxins through your colon. So my issues, I talked a little bit about lower back pain. I had hay fever so bad that every single year I would have to stay home for 2 weeks with the windows and doors closed. 2 weeks. I would start August the 15th, wake up in the morning with my eyes glued shut, nose running. I'd start with the contact C's. They would work for about a week, week and a half. Then switch to Claritin because the contacts would stop working. Claritin's lasted less, 4 or 5 days, until nothing helped, to the point where I couldn't go out. I felt like I actually had the flu. Cold chills, headaches, nausea, could not leave the house for 2 weeks. And it wasn't until I started cleaning out my colon. I started originally with pills and fiber and things like that, water. And that's what started me on the path of doing this business. When I actually eliminated, got rid of my lower back pain, got rid of my yeast infections, ladies, you might know what I'm talking about, and got rid of my allergies, that's when I said, I'm a believer. And it took me 2 years because I was such a severe case. I've seen people turn things around in a matter of 6 months. So colonics started years and years and years ago with the Egyptians. They actually used to use animal bladders and horns they knew back then the importance of eliminating and cleaning up stuff. And it wasn't until, the mid-1950s that the doctors started using prescription medication instead of the old-fashioned cleaning out stuff. You know, I have some of my clients come from all different countries. And I always say to them about their children. Some would come in about children. And I go, did your grandmother or your mother ever give you suppositories for parasites? They go, yeah, when we were kids all the time. Well, have you ever given this to your children? No. They're going to think you're cuckoo. I don't even know if you can buy them anymore, right? So it's just so important. The process of cleaning out, it started many, many years ago. And as a matter of fact, this guy right here was a huge advocate. Dr. Kellogg, Kellogg's Corn Flakes. The Corn Flakes guy died in 1943. He was a surgeon. He advocated a vegetarian diet. He also, I don't know if this is true or not, but he advocated to abstain from sex. Oh no, it wasn't sex, it was masturbation. Abstain from masturbation. I don't know why, but I saw the movie a long time ago. It was actually quite funny. So he had so many cases, thousands and thousands of cases, where without surgery, he helped so many people. Yogurt enemas, coffee enemas. He believed in enemas. He had in the United States, he had a huge clinic, or back then, sanitarium it was called. Very, very interesting. He had all kinds of famous people. So the stars, years ago, used to be huge into this stuff. And now you don't hear about it anymore. It's all hush-hush. The gravity method. So for colonics, there's several different methods. There's one that's called the Angel of Water. It's like a bathtub. You sit in it, and they help you attach the little device into the rectum. And then off they go. They say, oh, just push the button if you need anything. And you have no clue what's coming out, what's going in, how you're doing. The second way is through a machine on the wall that's, it's like a gravity system, but it's a pressurized system. It's a good system. You can actually see in a little viewing tube what's coming out, and the therapist is there, but the therapist just kind of stands there. She doesn't do much. The third system is the gravity system, the old-fashioned way. It's an upside-down glass water bottle filled up. It's got two lines going, one coming in to a single speculum and another line going out. Obviously, the line going out is a little bit bigger than the one going in. And so clean water goes in and wastewater goes out. And you can actually manipulate the squeezing of it. When you pinch the hose, the water goes up a little bit higher. Is it painful? It should not be painful. Is it uncomfortable? A little bit. it feels like you got a cramp, like you really got to go. And when you get that cramp, like you really got to go, you release the water and everything comes out. And the best part of it is that you actually can see in the tube and have a conversation about what's coming out. This is a typical setting. This is my studio. The bed, the water system is over on the right in the little cupboard there. Sink is right there. Everything is all disposable equipment. You want to make sure you're doing that. And it's a fantastic way to, you know, sometimes when you see stuff coming out, I always joke around and I go, geez, what kind of salad did you have for lunch? You can see tomato skins because they're hard to digest. If you're chewing really fast, you see big chunks of food coming out. Almonds. If you're not soaking your almonds overnight, you can see little chunks of hard, crunchy almonds. Actually, almonds have been known to cause some damage on people's colons because they're sharp on the edges. So it's actually quite funny. Oh my God. So colonics is known as colon hydrotherapy, colon therapy, lavage. In Europe, it's very popular. It's called lavage. And I just actually finished telling you the whole thing on this slide here. So it's just a simple flow of water. It can be stopped at any time. If some people are severely constipated, obviously it's going to feel a little bit more uncomfortable until you release that stuff that's in there. So how it works is you're laying flat on your back. Well, first you're on your side, the speculum gets inserted, then you lay on your back and we actually massage the tummy. You can feel the impacted areas of the colon. And some people don't even realize they're in pain, and then as soon as you touch it, they go, ouch. I go, oh, has it been painful for a while? They go, I didn't know it was painful. Do you ever massage your tummy or feel around in there? No. Some people don't even feel around their own tummies. A massager is very good to help things moving around. So I call him Bob. Actually, the ladies called him Bob. You know what to call him. Can you pass me that? I said, the massager. Yeah, what are we going to call him? I said, well, you can call him anything you want. So some people call him Charlie. Some people call him Bob. But a massager works really, really well. Another thing that that works really well is if you're sitting on the toilet, always have your feet elevated on a little stool. You can even pick them up at the dollar store for $2, little plastic stool. Because years ago, people used to squat. They didn't sit on a luxury toilet like we have now. It was a raised up high, squatted sitting position. So if you raise your feet up, it's going to help with eliminating. And most people, after their first session, they go, oh, that wasn't so bad. So it's not always a good idea. That's why we do the intake. We ask you a lot of questions. You fill out what your history is. You know, if you had any surgery, have you, you know, experienced any problems? We don't do colonics if you have any kind of rectal bleeding. Now, some people might have rectal bleeding from hemorrhoids. They can be very painful. Actually, the hemorrhoids can be more painful than having a colonic, you know. And if you're inflamed, if you have anal fissures, we don't do it. If you're pregnant, we don't do them. Tumors, right? Severe hemorrhoids. I had one client, had to send her to her doctor, go get surgery or something. Like, couldn't even touch it, so to speak. So here's an example of a healthy colon and a toxic colon. If you can see that picture over there. Healthy colon is nice and plump. Everything's working fine. Your organs. I have some pictures of some, well, I'll show you one in a minute. The other one is highly toxic. You can actually see, I had one client that went in for a colonoscopy and they almost lost her on the table. Because the camera, that's a lot worse than a colonic, trust me. In a colonic, it's water, but with the colonoscopy, it's a camera going up there. And this woman had such a twisted colon like the one on the right that the camera wouldn't go up and it was so bad that they had to take it out and revive her. You know, so you need to take care of that. A lot of people don't understand what the function of the colon is or where it even is. A lot of people go, oh my God, I've got a stomach ache and they're holding down here. And I go, that's not your stomach. Your stomach's up here. That's your colon. You're probably full of it. Let's get you flushed out. So the job is to store water. So if you're not drinking water, your colon is going to get dehydrated. It'll shrivel up. Picture this. You ever seen worms on a sidewalk? In the summertime, it rains, the worms come up, they're everywhere. What are they doing when it rains? They're coming up to drink the water. When they're nice and plump full of water, they go back down and they start digging up the dirt. Right? Well, if you get a worm that happens to be on a sidewalk and it's like he's wandered too far from the lawn and the sun comes out and he's full of water, what do you think happens to that worm? You see them on the sidewalk all the time. They're shriveled up, dried up, because they can't get to the grass on time to get back in the ground while they're nice and plump. Your colon's the same. You have to drink that water. And your colon has to be able to absorb the water. So absorbing the water, minerals, nutrients, and eliminate the toxic waste. How does it do that? By pumping like this. That's called peristalsis. Peristalsis, to push the stuff out. Takes the water, absorbs the nutrients, and gets rid of the waste. By the time it gets to your colon, it's junk, it's garbage, it's got to get out. Otherwise, you'll reabsorb it. So how it all works, you're going to chew your food, it goes in your mouth, goes through the esophagus, down into the stomach. So stomach's up here, it's not down here. So when it gets to the stomach, it's a storage tank, it's a muscle, and it churns the food. And then it turns into a pulpy acid fluid called chyme. So that chyme then passes from the stomach into the small intestine, round and round and round, 25 or 30 feet. That's a far way to travel. So if you're not chewing your food properly, you're going to have big hunks of stuff that got to travel an awful long way before it gets out. And then once it's in there, all the nutrients have been released, gets reabsorbed, the leftovers then move into the large intestine. There, it absorbs the water, like I just said, the peristalsis helps to push it out, and then you've got a good, healthy poop, hopefully. So what's poop made out of? Everybody's thinking, well, it's just rotten old food. It's actually got blood in there, bile in there, bacteria in there, skin, mucus, and food. All of that together. It's not just your food. So the Bristol stool chart, I'll show you what that is. Here it is here. There are 7 different types of poop. So when I say to people, what does your poop look like? They go, it's normal. And then they look at this chart and I go, what does it look like there? And they go, oh, 1 or 2. Well, 1 or 2 is like little pellet poops, and the other one is pellet poops that are stuck together. So that's not good. That's typical dehydration. You need more water. You need proper fiber. You need a fiber that's going to absorb the toxins and sweep it out. Not just a fiber that's going to absorb. Like psyllium. A lot of people don't know that. They go, well, I take psyllium. When was the last time you went to the bathroom? 3 days ago? And are you still taking the psyllium? Yeah, every day. Well, the psyllium's absorbing all the water. And then it sits there like a rock. So you need a fiber that's soluble and insoluble. So these are the different samples. If you have runny stool, that's not good either. You could have parasite. You could have something going on the diet you're eating. Some people eat cheese and dairy and they start getting diarrhea. So you seriously need to look at what you're doing for food. So the perfect poop should be like, actually, let me back up there, like 4. Shaped like a banana, medium brown, peanut butter consistency, and in one swoop. Has anybody ever experienced going to the bathroom and you've had to use a whole roll of toilet paper to clean up a little poop? That's not good. Very little toilet paper should be used when you're having a good one. One swoop, you're in and out. I don't understand these people that have to sit in that toilet for an hour reading Penthouse and Playboy. And what's going on? You don't need an excuse to read those. Well, I need the time. No, you don't. I don't have time to go for a walk. It takes me an hour in the bathroom. Why? I love my job. I have a lot of fun. So certain colors can mean certain things, too. It should leave the body comfortably with no straining, little toilet paper, and the color should be the medium brown, like I said. You need to educate yourself on the colors. If there's any change in the size, consistency, color, you need to pay attention. What did you just eat? or something could not be working right. Here's the color chart. I don't know if you can see it there, but light to medium brown is normal. Very light brown is too much fat in the body. Constipation or liver problems. If it's black, you got could be a duodenal ulcer, internal bleeding in the upper section of the GI tract, the esophagus, the stomach, or the first section of the small intestine. If it's dark red or maroon color, could be internal bleeding. The lower section, it could be diverticulitis or polyps, could be colon cancer. So that's why, guys, how many people say, oh, I never look at it? You need to look. Take a look. And take a look at your kids' poop, too. All you guys that have small kids, take a look at their poop. Look at the color. Look what's coming out. Bright red, hemorrhoids. I have one lady, she had hemorrhoids after a colonic, goes home, calls me up, oh my God, I'm bleeding. I said, is it like a lot coming out? I said, what color is it? It's red. Was it bright red, dark red? No, it's bright red. I said, was it bleeding when you wiped yourself? She goes, yeah. I said, it's your hemorrhoids. And if you get rid of the constipation, the hemorrhoids will shrink. Orange, fat transit time, gallbladder malfunction, yellow, Gilbert's disease, malabsorption, giardiasis, or pancreatic cancer. Now, the giardiasis is actually a parasite. You know how many times when you're doing a colonic and the water comes out bright yellow, like neon yellow, and you just ask all the questions, chances are very good that they either have a serious yeast overload, or like candida yeast, or it could be a parasite infection. If you've got severe bloating and gas and you've got yellow fluid coming out in a colonic, chances are pretty good you could have a little parasitic infection. Dark green could be you just had too much green smoothies that day. A lot of spinach, which is a good thing. Or undigested vegetables. The gray, malabsorption, hepatitis, gallbladder disorders, if it's like a clay color. So those are the signs of things that you got to look at. Here's another picture of the healthy colon and the unhealthy colon. Yeah, if you've got the colon like the one on the left there, no wonder you got gas and bloating. Doesn't know which way to go, up or down, or what's going on. So that wraps up this portion of my talk, but I'm going to just carry on for a second. Food is one of the most important things. What goes in your mouth has got to be the effect of what comes out. The most important thing. And recently, my clients were always saying, because I'd always recommend, stay away from this, that, or the other, depending on their issues. And they'd go, well, I don't know what to eat. Or I don't have time. So I partnered up with somebody to talk about food. And this is one of the most important things. People go, oh, I can't eat vegetables and carrot sticks all day long. I need my protein. I need my meat. And they seriously don't know what to eat. So the lady I'm going to introduce you to is going to talk just for a few minutes about an incredible food plan that she's got, raw food. A lot of people think carrots and celery. It's not carrots and celery. We've created a fantastic raw food class that we're putting on starting next week. And I'm going to bring up the beautiful, the talented Miss Veronica Key. Please help me welcome her. Thank you, Veronica.
Thank you.
All right.
Can you hear me okay?
Do you want this?
That might help.
Excuse me. There you go. Let's take that, and I'll take that.
There
does this go?
You can just put it on your top and don't wander off too far,
because
that'll fall. Perfect. Go ahead. Can you hear?
Yeah. Can you hear me? Does anybody know about raw food and what it is? Has anybody ever had an apple? That's raw food, right? So here's what happened. My dog got really sick. I didn't know what was going on. Thousands of dollars later, my vet says, my holistic vet says, feed your dog appropriate food. I said, what's that? Raw meat. Why? It has enzymes. It has nutrients. It hasn't been killed with and dead and overprocessed. And I went, wait a minute, I'm eating processed food. I'm eating dead bread, dead crackers, dead popcorn. I'm eating dead food. And so I started on a journey of raw food. What does that mean? It means that it's not cooked. Ladies, can you imagine? No pots, no pans, no time, no preparation, no mess. It's amazing. It's not just carrot sticks and celery. So what I've done over the years is I have kind of gone into and made dishes that are like food that most people know. For example, a pad Thai dish. I can rival any pad Thai dish in conventional food. So what happens is when you cook your food, 80% of your body, your digestive system works to break that food down, which leaves you with 20% for the rest of your body to have energy. Can you imagine if you eat raw food where the food goes immediately through your system, into your cells, nourishes every cell in your body, and leaves you with 80% energy? So what happens is when you're eating and you're hungry, you're constantly trying to put food in that your body is not being able to A, absorb, and B, is not getting the nutrients from it. So the same thing applies with pet food. It's dry. Your dog, your cat is dying for some fresh nutrients. And that's where the raw meat comes into play. But more importantly, I'm on a juice. I'm working here 9 to 9. I've been here I don't even know what time I've been here. The thing is, with raw food, I'm doing a juice. Because if you can't eat a lot of vegetables, a juice is a really quick way to get the nutrients into your body. And so what happens is, my body's always at its optimal best. I've got the energy. I'm not like, oh my God, I need a coffee. Oh my God, I need a muffin. Oh my God, I need something. Because my body is constantly at a high. So there's three reasons that I think raw food is really good. Does anybody here want to lose some weight? Does anybody want to look younger? Okay. And does anybody just want to be healthier? Because really, that's the reason we're all here, I think, at this show, is to be healthier. So for me, I did it for vanity reasons. So in 2 years, I'm going to be 60. So I think I look not too bad. I don't have any Botox. I don't have any cosmetic surgery, nothing. My energy level is always high. I'm actually a full-time real estate agent. If anybody knows what that's all about, it's 24/7. I've been doing that for 26 years. I used to go to Tim Hortons drive-thru, get a muffin, get a coffee for my next, showings or whatever. Now, I have my juice. So I met Mary through Colonics. She's amazing. Her studio is pristine. It's clean. It's nice. She walks you through everything. And you know what? After a while, you want to go, what's in there, holes? You want to see what you're eating, what's going on. Oh, I didn't chew my salad last night. It's crazy. You start getting addicted to this. So what happened was we realized that whatever goes out has a big reflection of what you put in. So there's a really bright colored flyer that you see, and we've developed what's called the in and out experience. So what happens is it's 5 hours of non-stop workshop. It's a raw food workshop. I have raw food basics and I have raw food advanced. So you come in. I talk to you about what you're getting in your body right away. I'm not going to give anything away. And then we deal with didn't have your coffee today, so I makeshift a coffee. I show you how to make milk, not from a cow, but from a nut, whether it's coconut, almond, whatever I choose to do. Then what happens is we go into smoothies, and the power of a smoothie and having it first thing in the morning, getting your sugar, believe it or not, getting your sugar through fruit into your body so that your body does not crash in the afternoon. We want to keep you going. It takes 30 seconds to make a smoothie, guys. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to have lunch. So I demo, you guys eat. Okay, so then I make a beautiful lunch, which takes probably 10 minutes. No dishes, no mess, no nothing. The next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce you to juices, a green juice. We need green because the sun goes to the plants. The plants have live energy. They have what's called chlorophyll. This is what our body needs. We need live, living energy. And why not get it from the source, which is the sun? The next thing we're going to do is we're going to make dinner, and then we're going to have a treat, which is not popcorn. It's going to be a really nice, healthy treat. And then in between, we're going to talk about benefits of raw food, what it does with your digestive system. Mary is also going to recap the scoop on poop. And then last but not least, you're going to get all the recipes. You're also going to get a list of all the ingredients. Is it expensive to eat healthy? If you look at the dollars and cents from going to a grocery store like the Big Carrot and buying organic raw food, yes. But every time you go to McDonald's, every time you go to Tim Hortons, every time you go to Starbucks, tally that up and tell me that a dozen eggs for $6 that are free range is not the same by going through a drive-thru and getting an egg McMuffin by the time you're done. So you know what? I will challenge anybody to say that it is not more expensive to eat healthy. You just have to make wiser choices, and you have to stay in aisle one. Don't go to the other aisles, because that's when you get screwed up. The other thing about raw food is it's tough to get going. I'm not going to say it's easy. I've been doing this for a long time. But once you are doing it, there is a problem. You become addicted to the good food. Your body craves the fresh, green, orange, purple, yellow, water-dense foods. So what happens is, Mary told you about, if you do not hydrate, your colon gets restricted. And that causes constipation, problems, diseases, all kinds of things. So when you start eating raw food, it is the most water-dense food you can eat. And you have to think about it. We have a live, living body. Why are we putting dead food into it? Just think about that. Now, my background is Austrian. I was raised with goulash and schnitzel and meat and meat and meat. Mind you, it was organic back then because I am a little bit older. But at the end of the day, our digestive system does not match eating meat. Now, I'm not here to preach, don't eat meat, don't eat meat. The fact is, it takes 24 to 48 hours for meat to go through your system. And guess what? It doesn't just go all the way through. It sits. And what happens? Toxins start to leak into your body. That's what causes diseases, because you don't have the free radicals that are you've got antioxidants that are not into your body. The free radicals are attacking your cells. So when you start eating smart, you start eating really healthy, you crave healthy food. It's really bad for dating, I'm going to tell you right now, but hey, and they hate me at the all-you-can-eat salad bar because I stay there for quite a while. So it's not just a salad, it's not just celery, it's not just carrots. It's trying to make different things. If you don't like vegetables, your body is going to start liking vegetables. Start with a simple juice. If you can do one raw food meal a day, it can be a green juice, it can be a smoothie. Throw some milk, an almond milk, a coconut milk, a hemp milk, a rice milk. Try to stay away from dairy, into a blender, like a Vitamix. I don't like Magic Bullet because it's not PBA-free plastic. There's one called Cuisinart, which is really fantastic, $69 at Canadian Tire. So then you just throw in some, whatever you have in fruit, strawberries, banana, whatever you have. And you know what? Anything green. Pick a dandelion in your grass and put it in. Dandelion is the best thing that you can eat, and that's another half an hour story. Spinach, kale, lettuce, cucumber, celery, anything you have green, put it in there, press blend, and eat that for a start. And you know what? Your body is going to go, hallelujah, I'm finally getting some real food. So I would say start with that. And like I said, if anybody wants to do any of those classes, it's $150 for 5 hours. You get all the food. You are not going to leave hungry. I guarantee it. Plus you get the recipes. Plus you get the grocery list. And you get my knowledge and you get Mary's knowledge. So if you're interested, fill out the little form on the top. Please, please, please print clearly if you have an email address you're going to fill out. It's a little white sheet. If you don't have any, they're over there. Fill out your name. We'll contact you. And if you are interested, if you are really well knowledgeable about raw food and you want to go to the next level is desserts and mocktails. I can make a raw mojito. Unbelievable. So that's it. Does anybody have a question for Mary or myself? Sorry.
I'm having a draw.
Okay. I'm so sorry. Can you stand up for me?
Yeah.
I've been doing it for 8 years. You know what? It's so noisy. Why don't you come over here and ask me? Or should I go over there with the thing? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll do a few minutes of Q&A. And we're also going to give away a free...
Here.
Free draw.
Wait.
I'm used to yelling. I'm Italian. We're going to do a free draw for a colonic session and for a live blood analysis. I'm just around the corner at booth 625. It's just right over there. So if you fill out those little forms, you could win a free draw. Fill it out and hand it back in. And I'll stick around for some questions too.
Sorry about that. I just didn't want to.
I heard from other naturopathic doctors to say that there are certain foods that should not be eaten raw on a regular basis. For instance, because of the oxalic acid, other greens because of oxalic acid, as well as like kale that has goitrogens in it or something like that that affects like thyroid health.
Okay, so these as he mentioned, it's not great to always eat them raw. But what happens is when you put your raw food like spinach and kale into a Vitamix, it breaks open the cellulose, which exposes the amino acids, and the amino acids builds protein in your body. That's why, guys, the largest animals on the planet are vegetarians. Think about it. Cows, horses, gorillas, bears, panda bears, what do they do all day? They chew on the leaves, right? So what they're doing is they're breaking up all the cellulose. Here she comes.
If you want to talk to me privately, I'm more than happy to speak to you.
Just to add on to that then, does that mean that if we were to eat these foods, like say spinach and kale and that sort of thing, raw often, it should be juiced or smoothied and not in, for instance, a raw spinach salad?
Well, I personally am not a fan of spinach, and I'm a vegetarian. So I eat kale, and I eat kale salads. But what I do is when I have a kale, I roll the leaf and I chop it very fine to break it up, but I still like to chew and have a salad. Now, when you become vegetarian raw, I'm not vegan because I eat bee pollen, which is B12. You need B12 if you're a vegetarian. You can get it through nutritional yeast. Bee pollen, there are supplementations. You can get it in liquid form or you can get it in vitamin form. So you have to be very, you have to understand your vitamins that you have to take in your supplementation. But getting back to your question, so, you know, there are some things that I don't really like, but I'll put spinach in a Vitamix or I'll chop it very fine, just like a Brussels sprout. I mean, think about Brussels sprouts. We're used to roasting a Brussels sprout. Take a Brussels sprout and chop it very fine and put it in with cabbage, like a coleslaw. You'll never recognize the Brussels sprout in that form. So it's just a matter of learning techniques and tricks. I have a website. I'm just starting blogging to learn how to blog. I'm just starting to put my recipes on there. It was my sister's birthday. Her favorite cake was carrot cake. I made a raw carrot cake. It took me 30 minutes from the start to the finish. You cannot say in baking a carrot cake, which is what I used to do, it takes that short a time. I had a Vitamix and I had a food processor. That was it. And I put them in little muffin containers, and my icing was made from cashews. It was amazing. It was absolutely wonderful. Do you have any questions for Mary? Here you go.
So the question is, have I ever seen live parasites out in a colonic? Yes, I have. There's different kinds. There's tapeworm. It looks like long spaghetti, like piece of spaghetti. Put that down, but it's...
Yeah, that's on. Okay, good. There's several different kinds. One kind that I've seen is, it looks like spaghetti, and it was actually like a little knot of them with getting out. And you actually will see them in the first few releases because they're actually quite smart. And when they realize that there's water going to flush them away, they hang on with their teeth onto your colon walls. There's some that look like little red rolled up pieces of tomato skin. And they're all the same size. They look like a little stick almost, and they're red. So you'd say, have you had any tomatoes in the last week or so? And sometimes people go, no, I don't eat tomatoes. I don't like tomatoes. And you know, because they're all the same size, little bits, red. And then there's another one that looks like it's like a flat leaf with little tails on them. And then sometimes you don't see them, you know. So you don't see them all the time. Because why parasites are so difficult to detect when you go to the doctor is that if you get a parasite test, it's a stool test that they do. So if you give a stool sample from Monday at noon and you bring it in and they go, there's no parasites. And you do another sample on Wednesday at 5, oh, you don't have parasites. And you do another one on Sunday at 3, oh, you have parasites. Different times of day, they do different things. For example, if somebody has itchy bum right around the rectum at night, late at night or early in the morning, children, you'll see them scratching their bum all the time. They have pinworm. Pinworm comes down around the rectum and lay eggs there. That's why you get the itching, along with the pain.
I just want to say one thing. Everybody has parasites, okay? So, and here's what parasites love. Junk food. They love junk food. So what happens is the parasites are actually quite bright. They talk to your mind. The craving that you have for potato chips and chocolate, it's not you. It's the parasites saying, feed me. And you know what happens when you start leaning out your diet, you start eating properly, and you start giving your body nutrients, the parasites are like, I'm leaving this ship because I'm not getting any food. And that's when she sees them going out the door. So that's what parasites are all about. If you have a pet, you probably have a parasite. There's lots of healthy parasites in your body. They are in your microflora. But in general, you have to think, try putting your mind, every time you eat junk food, you're feeding the parasites. I mean, you start connecting these little things in your mind, and it's amazing how you start making switches. You start making healthier choices. Anyway, that's what I wanted to say.
Anybody else have any questions? You're good? Awesome. Well, thanks very much for sitting in. I really appreciate it. And come and see me if you have any personal questions. And